Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with David Neveu. Did I say that right?
You said it exactly right.
I practiced it, I have to admit. So David is a modern solo pianist, composer, and performer who resides in Eugene, Oregon, who I was just talking with a few seconds ago about this because we go to a family reunion out there and Oregon's gorgeous. He's released 17 albums, original piano works and arrangements. He's garnered multiple awards, including Album of the Year for, I believe, Overcome. Is that correct? And if you haven't heard the song Overcome or Vigil, I would definitely get online. It's David, is easy to spell, but Neveu is N-E-V-I-E-W. Go right on there and check it out. He's everywhere. And
It's V-U-E, N-E-V-U-E.
V-U-E?
Yes, N-E-V-U-E.
I knew that. I was just testing you.
Okay.
You know what I looked at, what I did? I spelled it phonetically, and I looked at the phonetic spelling. Thank you for clearing that up.
You're right.
That's very funny. So N-E-V-U-E.
There you go.
Ignore me doing the phonetic spelling. So I said he's garnered several awards. He has something I want to talk to in the conversation, Whisperings Solo Piano Radio. It's very cool. He's been written up in Wall Street Journal, Rolling Stone. This is very cool. He's surpassed 1.6 billion spins. Wait, they don't call them spins anymore, do they?
Well, they kind of do, but it's not a spin.
1.6.
Dream.
Huh?
Dream.
Three, okay, that's fine. On Pandora Radio alone, that is a heck of an accomplishment. And I wanted to thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me and be on the show today.
My pleasure. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm grateful that you want to talk to me.
Oh, absolutely. So the first thing I ask all my guests is before we talk about all this other stuff, what was the turning point, your aha moment that guided you in finding your true purpose on planet Earth, your serendipity, your coincidence? I know it could be a lot of stuff, many times it is, but what was the thing that comes to mind that really put you in that direction, knowing what your purpose was and finding where that love was?
I think honestly, I thought I found it when I started to have some success online promoting my music and the recordings taking off. You know, the whole thing started out as just a hobby. I was just a piano player and wrote music, and I didn't know, like, what do I do with these songs? And so made albums and whatnot. And I think when they took off online and I was starting to kind of create a business and it did well, I think I thought I found my purpose. But for years and years, well, in the early days, I kind of refused to take on the idea of becoming a touring artist and performer. I'm an introvert. I didn't really want to play in front of people and just be naked on the stage, in a sense. You know, playing in a band was great because I did that for years in college. But you had people around you, or playing in a worship band. If you mess up, I mean, you got the drummer going or whatever, right? You're at the piano. There's no covering anything. But when I started to, people kept asking. And so finally I said yes. And I started to go out and perform. And I booked my first tour, just like six concerts, I think about 2004, 2005. And after going and performing live for people and meeting people and really seeing in person the impact that the music was having, and then hearing people's stories. And then on occasion, because so much of what I do, the music that I play, is inspired by my faith or my walk or my search, but having the opportunity to share my experiences and encourage other people who share my faith, and just having an opportunity to pray for people once in a while. You know, I've had people come up. I think my favorite thing, because it's just like an open door, is when somebody comes up after a service and they share their story or what's going on in their life. Or, for example, like, I just drilled in my brain, I was doing a concert in Omaha, and a girl came up to me in tears afterwards, and she had told me that her grandmother had just passed away, and that some of the things that I shared about overcoming and grief had really just hit her hard. And she asked if I could pray for her. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, why don't I pray for you now? And so I did. And so to have the opportunity to pray for people occasionally when they ask or when people express things are going through, I really found that there's a connection that's made in person that doesn't happen over the recording. And the way that I have learned to express it, it's like if you're hearing a recording of music, you love it, it's great, it means something to you, but you're really hearing it two-dimensionally. And then when you see a performer in person and have that connection and hear the stories and have that interaction and you laugh together, it kind of becomes a three-dimensional thing. And then I believe there are things that are happening in the spiritual realm, which take it into kind of a hyper-dimensional reality that extend into things unknown. I mean, it's like that moment in time can impact people's future and how they view the past. And so it becomes not what's happening right now necessarily, but one moment, one connection can really impact a life. And then, of course, that can ping off into other people in relationships. And it's just like this little drop of pebble into the pool, and it creates ripples. And you don't see those ripples. I don't see those ripples. But once in a while, I hear echoes and people send me emails and say, hey, this has happened, or your music inspired this. Or I have pastors who write me and tell me that they listen to my music while they're preparing their messages. I love that. That's just that kind of stuff. So really, I would say, long answer, but what really helped me realize that I was in my gift and what I was meant to do, it wasn't just play the piano, it wasn't just write music, it was to perform for people live and to have that exchange, and then let the Holy Spirit just do whatever he's going to do in that moment, which could have profound impact on many people.
Almost like let go, let God. And it's, yeah, and it's quite amazing. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. So it comes to mind because I want to kind of turn it the ship just a tiny bit and talk to the conscious communication audience. So listening to what David has played through his tones, his notes, his frequencies, and emotion of intensity as he plays each note, creating and delaying of the emotions either short or long, David talks from pure imagination from his subconscious mind. And for the listeners, they understand Ajanoi is a soul knowledge, A-J-A-N-O-I. And what you do this for a while, and you train yourself through the philosophy of Ajanoi and what David's doing, his version of Ajanoi, which is faith and belief and through a universal mind, which is intensity and intentional emotion by participating in it every day, and becomes better and better and better. This just didn't happen overnight. You had to do a lot of practicing, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. You know the old joke, the guy gets off the airplane in New York, asks the cab driver, goes, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And the answer is practice, practice, practice. And just like the philosophy, just like faith, just like belief, and whatever you believe in, whether it's God or Atman or Krishna or Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it, for me, I call it God. It is the universal mind, and you have to be in that right frame of mind to be able to accept those thoughts and get out of the noise. I mean, like I said, I suggest everybody check them out online. It's amazing because maybe this song won't catch it, maybe this song will. For me, it was the first three notes of Overcome, and then there was like the second or third note of Vigil. I mean, there's different things that I noticed that just give me a chill, and I believe those are spirit guides. I believe those are angels touching you and giving you a purpose of going, maybe that's something you need to do. Maybe that makes you feel good. Like you said, the pastors are listening to the stuff. And if that's something that makes a difference for you, then do it. I talked to somebody that wants to do the training with me, and he says, I thought it was a joke. At the end of a day, almost every day, he feels good. It makes him feel good at the end of the day to have a bologna sandwich on rye with mustard. I said, what do you think about that? I said, does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel at peace? It goes, it does. It goes, then do it. Because it's all about finding what brings you peace and joy. So I want to just kind of turn it for a second, but I'm going to turn it now back You just touched on the emotion of a live performance. And what is, you know, can you touch any more? Did you kind of like sum it up? I think you summed it up pretty good, but is there anything you can add to that? Because there is, you know, going to a musical, going to a concert, going to piano playing, go to a movie. You know, when you're seeing a good movie and you hear everybody around you laughing, it's that energy. And when I see you play, and then I want you to tell me, but when I see you play, I can see the emotion. I mean, you lift up off the seat for a second, the head turns back, you know, those little things. And it's like seeing a play, you know, you can see what somebody, so what is that real connection that you make in the live performance that really energizes something and people feel it? Well, what's coming from you?
Well, there's something in performance which we pianists will refer to as emoting. You know, I don't think it's just piano, but musicians, you know, emoting the music. And you have to set aside any timidity that you have. You have to set aside any fear. I really think of doing live performance as a leap of faith. I also look at live performance as being a moment of improvisation. Although I'm practiced, when I get on stage, I never know what's going to happen. So you submit yourself to the moment, and you just, in a sense, you forget about the audience and you perform. You perform it as if this is the first time I've ever played it. This is me coming to this piano that's just here in this space. And I'm sitting down and I'm just going to play this as if I've never played it, as if I haven't played the song a million times. I'm going to play the song like this is the first time and I know it. And this is me expressing. And so what it is the piano, the instrument becomes an extension of me. And so I kind of talk about it being a dance. And there's a dance that happens between me and the instrument. Sometimes the piano is a great dancer, and sometimes the piano is a terrible dancer. But still, I'm going to dance, and I'm going to dance with whatever instrument that I happen to have. I do a lot of shows and churches and house concerts and things like that. So sometimes I don't have very good dance partners. Sometimes they're amazing, but really, there's that having to kind of separate your mind from the part of you that is afraid. Separating yourself from the part of you that is worried and concerned about how this looks or how I come across, or, you know, do I remember what that third phrase is? And just submitting yourself to the moment. And there's really something that happens when you do that. And then what happens is people aren't just watching you play. People are watching a moment. They're experiencing something with you that you're sharing, you know, all in the same space. And then I also am a really big believer, because I've seen it happen, that again, when I play piano live in a performance setting, there are spiritual things happening. I have played concerts. Well, here's a perfect example. In my early years of touring, I remember I was down in San Jose, California, and playing at a small church. And, you know, one of the things that I always, it's a prerequisite, is that the piano be tuned up and then, you know, a technician look at it. I always ask for these things, right?
You ask.
I always ask for these things. But I was given a piano that was really, really out of tune. Pretty bad. Just horrible.
Okay.
And I remember after I went in and I sat down and warmed up, and I went back to my rental car before the show started, and I was just sitting in the car, and I really wanted to cancel. I just felt bad, because people were paying to come to see this event, and I felt bad that they would come and see and hear me play on this terrible piano. And I prayed about it, and I'm just like, you know, I just prayed about it. I don't know how I can do this. I really felt like God reminded me that the piano is not the instrument, that I'm the instrument. Mm-hmm. That he's playing through me. I'm not just playing through the piano. He's playing through me. The Holy Spirit's playing through me. So I need to be obedient. I need to do what I've committed to doing. I need to go in and I need to pretend like that instrument is the most amazing piano that I've ever played. And I need to play it that way. So people gathered and I did my concert and played the room and, you know, everything in my mind, it was just crazy stuff going on in my brain. Just trying to push out the distaste for the sound that I was hearing and trying just play, just, this is beautiful.
Right.
This is beautiful. And I remember just getting done at the concert and finishing and just being like, you know, wow, I'm just so glad that's done. And then this man came up to me. He was an older gentleman. He came up to me and he had tears streaming down his face. And he said, David, this night changed my life. And I was like, wow, I'm great. And he's like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. This night, your performance, your playing, the things you said changed my life. He's like speaking through the sobs and the tears. And I'm just like, what do you say to that? You know, I learned that night that it doesn't matter what I think in my head. It doesn't matter even what's the piano doesn't matter. The sound that I'm hearing doesn't matter. There's something that is happening spiritually that happens between in the air, between what I'm playing and what people hear, and then what's going on between other people's ears that's different than what's going on between my ears. And it's profound. And that was a learning moment early in my career when I really came to recognize that if I have a bad night, I'm off. And, you know, it might be my piano playing is great, but my storytelling feels jilted. I feel like I was struggling to get through things. Or it might be a night where the piano wasn't so great, but maybe my storytelling was good, or maybe both things were, you know, from my perspective, were just, I was not on my A game. But I've learned from that and learned from other experiences that it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what I feel. I just need to be obedient in the moment that I'm in, play, do what I do, share whatever God gives me to share in the moment, and just allow other things to happen, because it really isn't about me. Even if I'm the focus of that moment, there are other things happening in people's hearts and minds that are things that I don't make happen. It's just things we participate in together, and this moment becomes a moment that people will change the course of somebody's life, or maybe an action that they do, a relationship that they have. That is the hope. That's why I love doing what I do. And that's the thing that keeps me going and reminds me that what I do matters. And it keeps me going.
Well, great story. And one of the things I love about stories, it brings you in the moment. And I could picture it, something in my mind, but you're absolutely right. What you're experiencing, I'm not experiencing in my mind. And you can't necessarily tell from a look or expression on the face. You can't necessarily tell from body language all the time. You have to talk to somebody. And for somebody to come up to you, and again, it's one of those things, you know, your piano playing, you made three mistakes. You didn't push the pedal down, whatever it is. The only person that heard that was you. Now, maybe there's a trained musician in the audience. Maybe they'll do it, but they're just going to ignore. I understand that. But most people are not going to hear that. And one of the things I say in the philosophy, and it's really spiritual, but it helps if you are believing with something. It makes it more powerful. One of it is empowering others empowers ourselves. And what you're doing is you're empowering others with your gift through music and expression and energy. And they feel that. And if that one note changes somebody's life. I mean, most of the time, you know this, most of the time you'll never know if you changed or touched anybody. But once in a while, it's kind of nice to, you know, not that you need it, but it's kind of nice to hear a clap or somebody going, David, da-da-da-da-da, just like this gentleman did. And it gives you chills because we are all connected. You strip down the skin and go down to bone. And really, if you have no structure, there's no difference between any human being from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You know, and we're all looking for the same thing. We're all looking for a connection. It's there, but one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast and what I keep saying, Ajinoy, it's an imaging technique I've created and the audience is familiar with it and it creates the right mindset, but it's a spiritual thing. You have to believe in something bigger than you. You have to believe in that the images that come into your mind that sometimes you ignore or those coincidences that happen could be God or whatever you want to call it. I call it God, is pushing you in that direction. And if you ignore that, you're not giving that gift to the human race. And I believe everybody's got a purpose. I don't know what the purpose is. And if you can find that through talking, through a philosophy, through going to church, going to temple, going to wherever you go, and if it can make a difference and turn that on and you get in touch with that, you start going and waking up with joy, gratitude, and abundance in your heart and your mind all the time. Because I have a sand timer and it represents what I believe in. Because sand timer is just a sand trickle of time. It goes in one direction, down. That's it. Switch it over, it goes down. Well, someday, guess what? I won't be able to switch it over because that sand time is only an allotted time. You're talking about conduits, basically. You're a conduit. I'm a conduit. We're just the spirits and the angels and God coming through us, if we're in touch with what our purpose is and communicating it out to the world through the physical body, as in talking or playing music or making a movie or being a dentist or whatever it is. And I just love that stuff. And since I started this conscious communication podcast show, I'm like a magnet, like you are, like we all are. We attract what we think about. We attract what we talk about. And it keeps attracting people of faith. And faith is in all different types of faith. There's not one single faith that exists. It's a belief that there's something out there bigger than you, and you actually have a purpose on this planet. Let me go to the next question. Being authentic and transparent and positive always. I think you already answered that question. Is there anything you can add on to that? Authentic and transparent and positive always. That's the thing. You know, the outside world wants you to drag you into negative. Mm-hmm. It's been like that. You know, everybody thinks it's just recent. Go back about 2,000-3,000 years. I don't think man's inhumanity to man has gotten any better.
No.
We just talk about it more. But how do you keep that positive mindset within you when you're not playing music? Is there some kind of imagination or something you go, because obviously you do, you have a very strong imagination and you're connected with that. Is there something you can tell everyone that brings your, keeps you into that moment and keeps you in that positivity when negative things happen to you?
Well, you have to remember that just because you have a positive mindset doesn't mean that negative or disappointing things don't happen, or hurtful things or medical things. It doesn't mean we're not talking about a goody-goody approach to life.
No.
You know, like this, like everything's wonderful all the time, because it's not. I mean, I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with fears just like everybody else. I think the trick is that we don't hold on to those things. And also the other thing that we have to understand, and I think this is really important in this modern age, is that community is important. And being involved in a community is important, and having people around you is important. The worst thing that you can do if you struggle with fear and anxiety, or if you're an introvert like me, the worst thing you can do is isolate yourself for long periods of time. The way that I get isolation is I go on walk. I'll go down to the gym and work out and kind of be in my own head, but I love to be outside and hike. That's good isolation. You know, just listening, not listening to podcasts all the time, although I do listen to podcasts, but unplugging and just talking to myself and just allowing my mind to process things. And I process things usually out loud verbally, which is why I like to hike and be out by myself, because if people saw the way that I talk to myself, they'd think I'm an insane person.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you on that one. Why is that?
But I hear myself.
I was just going to tell you, I said, now think somebody would think you have that earpiece in your head talking to somebody on the phone.
Right. Yeah, no, just talking to myself. I've learned through the years like before I do concerts, I do a lot of self-talk, and, you know, I basically speak into existence what I want to be. You know, this concert is going to be great. I'm looking forward to this. I'm excited about this. They're excited about it. I'm excited about it. There's somebody out there that probably traveled 5 hours just to come and see me play. So I'm going to give them my best, and this is going to go great. And I have a real opportunity here to, you know, there, everybody out there is on my side. They're rooting for me. They just, you know, things like that. And I've also taken to, I have a little kind of a written prayer. It's a mix of a prayer and kind of, again, self-talk. I write down what I want to accomplish, and I kind of mix it and do it in a prayer way. And I have this text file that's on my computer, that's right on my desktop, that I open up and I read through out loud.
All right.
And it's a prayer, and it starts out as a prayer, but then I'll go into what my goals are. I'll talk about, you know, I am going to accomplish this, and this is where I'm going. And by the end of this year, I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to record this number of songs, and I'm going to, you know, by God's help, I'm going to restore this relationship. I don't know how, but God, Lord, help me to bring this about, and all of these things like that. And there are people who God's placed on my heart to pray for. And so I've included that in that. It's just kind of, it's not too long, but it's long enough that it takes me maybe 20 minutes to kind of go through it. And I find that writing things down like that, both my goals, objectives, short-term, long-term, who I want to pray for, what I'm struggling with, or what do I need to kind of put out there. And then the whole prayer is started by my, you know, like kind of my mission statement, which is that, you know, God, I want everything that I do to glorify you. You know, may everything that happens and everything I pray about, you know, ultimately it's not about what I want, it's what you want. And I recognize that. And even though, that being said, here's what I kind of want and hope for, you know, but Lord, as you know, by as you will it, not me, but anyway, but I have it written down, and to have it written down, it creates an anchor. And when I have those mornings where, as we all do, where I have a hard time getting out of bed, and I have a hard time getting going because I don't want to face the day, I've got a lot of things to do, or I feel a lot of pressure, or I have all these deadlines or things, and I just feel like, how am I going to get this all done? And so then it's like, I really need to get going, but then you're just discouraged from getting going because you just feel like, how is it going to all happen? And all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I will sit down, I'll open up that thing that I've written, and I will read and pray through it. And I will also edit it as I'm going, because life changes. And what I do is I take this document that grounds me and reminds me and it encourages me. And about every 3 months, I'll save it, and then I'll save it, do a save as, and save it as for the next 3 months. And so I have documents from the past, versions of the prayer, the action, the affirmation, that I can go back and see what the things that I was praying for, the things that I was speaking into existence, you know. And I, by reading and reading aloud, by the way, that's important, is to speak it out. When I read my Bible, I read it aloud. I think hearing is really important. And so, all of this to say, these are the kinds of things that I do to stay positive. If I was just in my head all the time, I wouldn't be very productive, because I would be beating myself up a lot. I'm a perfectionist. I hold myself to a very high level. I very rarely achieve what I think I should achieve. So I could spend my days just beating myself up because I didn't get this and that done, or frustrated because I didn't feel well that day, and so why am I letting how I feel control me, or whatever. I mean, you can go down all these paths, and the positivity comes through movement, through doing. And I can't say it enough, if you have a hard time just getting going, just go take a walk around the block. I mean, movement, that's actually my word for this year. It's like movement. To learn and to practice even more moving and get moving, because I think movement gets the body going, it gets things engaged, it gives you a chance to think and process, gets air and oxygen going. So all of this helps me to be positive, and it helps me to literally sometimes it is the key that starts the ignition. These are things that I do that works really well for me.
I think two things I got out of that. Well, one main thing, silence. Silence is something we don't have anymore by choice. You could put the phone down. Nobody's putting your arm behind your back and saying, you've got to watch this. You got to look at that. You could put it away. You can stop the noise and you could don't play a record. Don't play a piano. Don't do anything. Don't type. Just go for a walk. There's so many times that my wife and I have noticed in our town, there's some people just, they're on the phone when they're walking. Like, wait, you're walking to get, I know she tells me this all the time. She's like, yeah, this is not the way it is. I go, that's wonderful. But think about it. There's no way to leave. So you're constantly busy with noisy thoughts and not trying to get into what your real true purpose is in your everyday. And how could you get in touch with that if there's always noise? Walk in nature. If it's too cold out, I'm in the Midwest here. So it's too cold out. I can't walk. I'll get on my elliptical for a few minutes. Yeah. Walk up and down the stairs. Sit and stare out at the sky. It's cloudy out. And I'm upset about it because it's not sunny enough or it's raining. And I'm like, well, see, I always look through the amazing beauty that it really is. It's cloud, it's sky, it's blue. I always find where the beauty is because there's beauty in everything. But you can easily, like you said, you can easily just take something that's a beautiful bird and say, that's an ugly bird. Really? Do you know how to fly? You know, there's all sorts of beautiful things and the silence. The other thing I wanted to say is sleep. For me, sleep's really important. So I pray and meditate 3 times a day, do it in the morning. Do it in the afternoon and I do it in the evening. Now, my goal is not to, you're talking about not leaving bed or praying in the morning positive. And I'm thinking, I'm not leaving my bed until I'm positive. So sometimes there for 2 months. But anyway, sometimes it goes on for 20 minutes. It usually doesn't. But in the evening, it goes on sometimes for 45 minutes or an hour and I have nice music or I don't and I close my eyes. And for me, prayer is asking for help. Meditation is the mindset that you get in for me in my subconscious and the universal mind and the spirits and asking and visualizing what I'm looking for. You kind of said that in your own way. You're going down, you're marking it down, you're talking about the Bible, you're talking the words out loud, or you're going on your walk or you're writing it down. And being a musician and being somebody who's expressive, if you just had that in your head and didn't come out in the physical body, there it lies. Nothing ever happens. So you've had to work through certain things to be able to get that out of the physical body because, like you said, movement, but there's a time for rest. There's a time for joy. There's a time for sadness. There's a time for exercising. There's time to be exhausted. There's time to be sad or whatever. There's always times, but I think controlling that with writing things down, like you said, reading whether it's the Bible or something positive for yourself, and keeping that in alignment, because if you're waking up with those negative thoughts, if you have a process of procedure like you have that you can go to immediately, it doesn't shut it off. It just puts it real far back. It's very hard to hear. And what goes up front is the positive, because when you start saying those things and doing those things, suddenly the creativity comes out. Whether you're a piano player, it doesn't matter what you do, whatever that creativity is for you, and it comes out, and that's all you're thinking now in the front part of your mind, as opposed to all the negative noise that's going on. And I like that idea because it's another way. I call it Ajahnoy, you call it something different. It's all the same in your own way of how you believe in faith and understanding to be able to live in joy as much as you possibly can. And you have a really cool procedure how to do it. So I was going to go into this, and I think it's a good segue. Understanding the ebb and flows of moods, artistic temperament, and being okay with it. Now, when you're saying temperament, I'm assuming you're not always in joy and abundance all the time.
No.
So how do you work with that flow? Like the moving water in the ocean. How do you work with that when, sometimes maybe for 3 days you're like, I should play just to play, but I don't want to. How do you kind of get that, kind of go through that?
Well, first of all, you have to, I don't know, I talked about, you know, artistic temperament or moods, because that is something that I deal with a lot. I've always been, and I think this has helped me in my music and in my performance, I've always been very emotional. I'm just an emotional person. I feel things very strongly. I feel things. And sometimes that can be to my detriment in terms of, you know, my sads can be pretty sad, you know, and my happies can be very happy. And this is something that I try to hide from people in terms of just the day-to-day life. And it's something that I struggle with. It's just like, well, why am I feeling this way? I don't know why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I'm just feeling it. But what I've really learned in terms of how I've dealt with that, and I think it's the first thing that I had to do, was to basically accept that that's part of my personality. I have to give myself permission to feel things. And in fact, if I'm going to feel something, if I'm really feeling something, if I'm feeling grief, not to try to push it down, but to embrace it, to recognize that a lot of my music actually comes from grief. A lot of my music comes out of, you know, kind of a more melancholy side of things in terms of my own temperament. But giving myself permission and recognizing that being emotional and feeling things intensely is part of what has made me who I am and made me successful. And so being, you know, being transparent in that way is also something that has made me successful, because people, you know, when they come to a concert and they hear me talk about my experiences in life, both joyful ones and maybe not so joyful ones, they can relate, because let's be honest, most everybody feels and experiences a lot of the same kind of things at different points in their life. So people connect to that. And so I think the first thing in terms of temperament and mood and just accommodating that is just giving yourself permission. The last thing that you should do is to beat yourself up or to think less of yourself because you feel things strongly. You know, these things can be, I think it's good to, we have to be careful to not become obsessive over our sadness or over our, you know, intense feelings. You know, you want it to be a wave. You want it to be something that's fluid, that you have your ups and downs. Some people are more level than other people's, and some people have, you know, bigger swings than other people. You know, obviously, you don't want to go down and stay down. That gets in, you know, and I think that's something that can happen through isolation, as I was talking about before. Again, not talking about going for walks, but more, you know, cutting yourself off from the rest of the world. I think that's a really dangerous thing. And I think what's even more dangerous is if you cut yourself off from the rest of the world, and the only way that you connect is through social media, you know, in these other ways that are, you know, negative predominantly. So the last thing you want to be, you know, is be feeling bad about yourself and then going on Instagram or something and seeing everybody else's amazing lives.
Right. The fake ones.
So I think community is important. So I think the best way to, one of the ways to stay out of that, or to create these ups and downs, or to try to get a little bit more synchronicity, is to find ways to create contact and community with other people, whether it's other musicians in my case, or whether it's, you know, other believers that share a faith. It can be political, although I would say that you could agree with things politically and find your tribe, but that can also be a very negative thing that goes negative pretty easily.
Yeah.
But family, maybe shared interests, you know, finding people to connect with, you have shared interests. And it's not easy for everybody. And, you know, it's, for some people, it's very difficult even just physically to be involved in community. But I don't know, I think striving for community is important, because we need to feel connected to other human beings. And I think it's good for our spirit and soul. And, you know, in terms of my own belief system, I really believe that God didn't create us to be by ourselves. You know, it's not good that man should be alone. You know, he created a helpmate, a partner. And I think we are created for community and for contact. And I think we're designed to rub off on each other and to bounce off of each other and to encourage one another and to build each other up. And that can really only happen in community. It doesn't happen online. It can, but it's not the same as the physical touch and the having the discussion and seeing people in real life. So, you know, for me, that is kind of how I've navigated it. And again, being an introvert, it's not my first inclination to leave the corner. I like to just like watch people. I'm a people watcher. I'd much rather do that.
It is fun.
But to go and be in an airport or something, find a group or something to try to be involved, even if it's just getting together with people who are friends and just saying, hey, you want to go out for dessert sometime and just hang out? I mean, you got to have that contact.
It is important. Go get a cup of coffee. Go have a cookie. I'm kind of a more social person. That doesn't make me better or worse than anybody else, because I still have ebbs and flows just like everybody else. And no one, you know, what's the old saying that everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time?
Right.
I don't care who you are. I mean,
yeah,
we have a limited amount of time here, and to make the best of it as much as you possibly can. And you were talking about politics. I mean, that's a biggie, but it's been around forever. And I was reading something from a gentleman named Confucius and Lao Tzu from the Tao days and 3,000 years ago. These people were thrown out of China because of politics. This is over 3,000 years ago. So nothing's really changed.
No.
As I think we mentioned earlier. But I agree. I do not believe that we were meant to be sitting on social media, sitting on cable, there's a time and a place. You know, when I was younger, I played video games. Still have my original Nintendo game from 1985. I'm now really aging myself. And I actually fixed it because I'm an engineer too, so I'm a dork. But it's important to have those connections. Go out for a beer with somebody. Go over a cup of coffee. Go play a game of pool. Go bowling. I don't care what you do. And it's just, and when you do that, just like a live concert, you feel that energy. And it's the energy coming from the other people. When you're watching a movie, was an article I just recently read about, a movie they had and they took it out. People felt the energy of being in a theater again. And I said, you can't replace that as opposed to sitting in your basement on a little TV monitor or your phone. You can't feel the energy around you. Yes, I could feel your energy and what you were doing by watching your body language and everything, but that's just me.
Right.
Maybe other people don't see that. But when you see somebody live and in person, whatever it is, we're going to see a concert this evening. And there's just that chill. And I don't believe that's a chill from us. I believe that's an angel or a spirit. I think these things are touching us all the time. They're telling us if we're in touch with the right part of our minds and the right connection, like a wire connection into the electricity. We could say the electrical connection of God or spirit. And once you get there, doesn't mean it doesn't happen all the time. But if you have, like you said, that process procedure, something you can do, something that gets you into it. I mean, to me, I need some dark chocolate. So if that helps, then so be it. I just love that stuff. Now, there was another one I was going to talk about, your music, your out in spirituality, your role of faith in the music. But I think we've covered that. Is there anything? Oh, I do have a note here. Like I said, I do prayer meditation 3 times a day. And it really centers me. It just centers me. And it's either sometimes it's music in the background I have, or sometimes just nothing. And during the summertime, or spring or fall or whatever, it's rare to have just a nice day in Illinois. But when you do, you sit out there under the umbrella and you can hear the birds and the wind and you look at the sky, you look at the clouds. I know it sounds hokey. What's that old saying, you know, smell the roses?
Yeah.
But it is true. It is true. You know, I have a friend of mine who, he doesn't just make coffee. He puts the coffee in the old-fashioned way. He puts it in a coffee press. I'm not a coffee drinker, but he puts it in the coffee press. He smells the coffee. He pushes it. And while he's doing this, he's appreciating the smells. He's thanking God for whatever's going on, the coffee mug. That's what I do all the time. Thank you that I opened my eyes this morning. Thank you for, I got a floor under my feet. Look, I got hot water. And he does this, and it starts off his day. And it's nobody in the house. It's quiet. It's very early in the morning. He takes his cup of coffee, goes through the window, and he looks outside, no matter what the weather is. And it's something that just, you know, is so important to connect with Earth or Mother Nature. Because, you know, it's say we can't see God. It's for me. I see it all the time. There's trees, grass, birds, water, clouds, sky, rain, snow. You know, the Earth always goes on its axis every year, you know, for the solstice, every year, for forever. We have no control over this. You know, my sister used to tell me, she said, think about ice. I go, in a drink? She goes, no, the ice in the water. Think about the ice and how that's a perfect temperature for the fish to live. And then it goes away and they're fine. Think about that miracle. And I always think to myself, think about your heart. I don't understand. There's no solar energy. There's no coal. There's no gasoline. There's no nothing. It just beats. How does that work? Nobody knows. Nobody knows how that heart, you know, the sperm and the egg meet, creates a human being. Hopefully most of the time you get all the fingers and the nose and everything. You're not sitting there, you know, when you're in your mom's womb going, oh God, where's my nose? You know, eventually it gets there. But when you're born, that heart goes. How long? I don't know. But think about that. I think it's important to look at that because it occupies the mind with something positive. So I have something else here. So being who I am in faith is a conscious decision and plays a big role in how I connect with others. You pretty much said that, but is it something I wanted to little to expand on that? And then I want to talk about whisperings. When you're going out, you're getting a cup of coffee at the coffee shop. And what do they call them? Baristas, the fancy name, yeah. The coffee person. The barista is making the coffee and they seem to be in a bad mood. I'm just asking, do you tend to see that? And if you see that, is there something you might think, well, I'm going to just throw them some love. I'm going to throw them some positive, make a joke or do whatever. I know what I do. But is there something that you see if somebody's having a bad day, not that they want to have a long conversation, that you might be able to put a smile on their face? Do you kind of see things in that way, in a spiritual or faith way, that if you notice the waitress is coming up to you, the waiter's coming up, you know, whatever it is, the cash register, and maybe you sense that, and maybe you're thinking, maybe it can do something. I don't know. I'm just asking if that ever comes up with you or you ever think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've ever thought about it so much consciously in terms of like, this is my plot today. I'm going to find people who aren't happy.
I agree.
Baristas who are unhappy. I'm going to go all these coffee shops and I can find unhappy baristas. That might be a fun day though, actually.
Why does this guy keep going to all the coffee shops? I don't know.
I get lots of coffee out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I think I have seen that and done that. And I think my approach, because obviously you don't want to get in conversation, there's other customers, but I think just saying the words, thank you, and not just thank you, but also, I really appreciate this. Just adding those few extra words, I really appreciate this. I appreciate this. You know, thank you is something that it can be just a throwaway. We just say thanks or thank you or how are you? Fine. Are you good? Sure. You know, I mean, thank you is kind of that. But if you add in the just extra, I really appreciate this. This is going to make my day better or something. I think that just doing that maybe opens somebody up a little bit because people want to be seen. They want to be recognized and, you know, they feel like they're working hard and maybe they're having a hard time or maybe they just, maybe the person in front of them was just a grump, you know,
yeah.
It was in front of you. It's just a grump or complained or something. So, you know, you can turn that around, but I think just basically expressing appreciation was just something that I tend to do. I think just because I know I appreciate it. When,
right.
I like it when people go the extra mile and, you know, it makes my day every time I hear something from somebody and they, you know, make me feel like I matter. And I think making somebody else see or understand that, you know what, I see you and
right,
really made a difference for me today. This coffee is just going to really help me. I think a good thing. And it's, I think something that more people should practice.
I agree. I think I call them God winks. I think there's God winks all around us all the time, but we don't notice it. And the old saying, right? Or the old saying, it's in the Bible, do unto others, but empowering people empowers yourself, whatever you want to call it. But it really does. Because when I looked at you, you didn't just say the words, you turned to me and looked at me with a little smile on your face.
Yeah.
And that is the key. A little eye contact. Or make a joking gesture of, you know, whatever. And everybody does it a little different. And suddenly like, Dave, thank you very much for making that cup of coffee. I appreciate it. That's it. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to do any, and with a smile. And you, and again, that's that energy coming off you. That same way that you play piano, when I saw your body go up and down or your head goes back, because it's genuine. You're not faking it. There no. are, you know, we're talking about politics, you know, but there's all sorts of things. We've all, you probably worked in corporate world, correct?
Yes.
There's fake, or my kids, when they were little, used to say fakey people. There's fakey people everywhere. And, you know, you're saying there might be a grumpy person. Well, what happens if you talk to that person and their father just died yesterday? See, you don't know.
Yeah,
and you know. And not that people are normally going out, you know, cutting your head off and, you know, like, you know, screaming at you, that, but you don't know, and you're not supposed to know, because people don't want to share that. And I don't want that to, but if I could be a conveyance of positivity, can be an conveyance of something of a little bit of a blessing, because I've gotten things. I used to travel around the world in my corporate world as an engineer, and I met people all over the world. And I tell you, the little tiny things they touched in me were more than I touched in them. I was coming to do the support work to correct their problem. They were correcting my problem. I was looking to observe and see what I could learn from them. And one time I had a conversation with somebody, said, because I told him something to that extent, he said, well, I was wondering, because you didn't come in here like, you know, the old saying, bull in a china shop, running around trying to fix everything, saying, I know, I know. I go, it's because I don't know. Those that claim to be the wise men are sure the fool. I don't know everything. I don't want to be to know everything. I want you to tell me what you've done, and let's talk about it. And you'll probably fix it without me even doing anything. So now we can go to dinner and have a cup of coffee, and then I can go home the next day. So it's that conveyance of comfort and understanding, and because everybody wants it, and you just have to do it your own way. There's no science to it necessarily, but there's a way, and you have to be in touch with that. It's very important. Now I want to talk about your whisperings. I went to the website. Whisperings Solo Piano Radio. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And it's very cool. Tell the audience what that is all about. I know it is, but you tell me. And why you created it.
Well, being a solo piano artist in the early days, and, you know, I found some traction online and was doing well. But, I mean, aside from that, there was really nowhere for me to get my music played. The nature of the music that I play, I am not a classical pianist, so my ever being on a classical station was never going to happen. My being on a jazz station was never going to happen. And just frankly, being an independent artist back in those days especially, you weren't going to ever get airplay on any traditional radio station. And so there was a local show based out of Portland called Lights Out. I think it ran from like midnight to 2 a.m. and they played music that was along, you know, the lines of what I played, you know, Wyndham Hill stuff and Narada stuff.
That oh, yeah. Funny. Forgot about that. Yeah. Right?
And then, you know, but my music, I kind of started coming onto the scene, you know, after that. And they would play some of that kind of music, but there was nowhere for me to get airplay. And back in those days, if you wanted to do anything as an artist or musician or get any kind of traction or anyone to know about you, you had to find a way to get on the radio.
Right.
And so as the internet came about, and as I was on board the internet in the very beginning, I was there with the first web browser because I was working at Symantec Corporation in those days. And so I was right in the forefront of the technology world. I was there when it all happened. I was working at Symantec and I was providing support for people. It was like similar to what you were doing. And being there, you know, as soon as the web browser came up, I created a website to promote my music and did all that. But the technology came about really in the early 2000s. A little company called Live 365 launched, and it was the first company that was kind of designed to help somebody who wanted to be an independent broadcaster to create an internet radio station, and anybody could do it. So that came about in the early 2000s. You know, before that, there was mp3.com, which you could kind of create like playlists that you could control and promote. And I started really whispering, started out as a playlist on mp3.com. But then when Live 365 came on board and there was a way to create kind of a real internet radio station, I was one of the first to jump in. And Whisperings Radio, I launched it there. And the whole intent was that I wanted to get, since I couldn't get radio play anywhere else, I decided to create my own radio station.
And that was in 2003, correct?
Yeah, that was when I launched with Springs Radio.
Okay, cool. So continue. Yeah, so, this is a good story. I like it.
Yeah. So the whole point was I can't get play anywhere, so I'll just make my own radio station so I could put my music on. And, you know, but I knew that people would not, I mean, creating internet radio broadcasts of just my music was not going to do anyone any good, least of all me, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to listen to one artist 24/7. So I sought out other piano players doing what I was doing. And I remember when I first started, I was really concerned I'd find enough people because, I mean, it was the internet, but I was just like, aside from the big names, I didn't know any other really pianists that were doing what I was doing. But I dug around, I went on to a few music websites and just like looked up piano and found a few people and invited them. And so I had 20, 25 artists in the beginning and played their music and my music, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew. For the first 7 years, I think until 2010, Whispering Solo Piano Radio was the number one broadcast on Live 365 all of those years.
Wow.
And then the only reason that it stopped being the number one broadcast was because I kind of outgrown it. It became so expensive because we had so many people listening that I decided to set up my own server and to start broadcasting from my own server so that I didn't have that cost because it was prohibitive. And I was trying to balance paying for bandwidth, the fact that how do I get income coming in? And so we created a subscription service where people could pay to listen commercial free. And people did, but still way more people listened for free. So it was all about finding that balance and keeping it going. But the broadcast has been going now for, it'll be, in terms of it being a radio broadcast, it's, you know, going on 20 years. And we have 370 some artists from all over the world.
Wow.
And we have tens of thousands of people every day that tune in and listen. And I still play my music on it.
Very cool. Very cool. No, I went on there. It's a very cool website and this listening stuff. It's Whisperings. I'm not going to spell it because I'll probably spell it the wrong way. Solo Piano Radio. And you can look it up. It looks like there's some technology attached to it also. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that something you worked with?
Yeah, well, it's something that I worked with. And then I hired out. I work with a third-party company that helps manage and maintain some of the server operations. And then I operate the software itself, but some of the server bandwidth and the replication and the virtual machines and all that stuff that goes on to, you know, back things up and to keep things going if one goes down. Because there's so many cogs, you know, it's just like if one thing breaks, the whole system can come crashing down.
So yeah.
There's got to be all kinds of redundancy. So there's a lot of that happens behind the scenes that people don't know about or think about.
Okay. All right. No, it's very cool. I recommend people checking that out. David Nevue, Nevue. Not the way I spelled it. Check him out on the internet. Take a look at Whisperings. The radio station is fantastic.
It's solopianoradio.com.
I'm sorry, say again.
Solopianoradio.com.
Solopianoradio.com. Check that out there. Type in Overcome by David Nevue. Check out his live performance. He's got an album. He's got his own website, song visual. I can go on and on and on. David, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk with me. It's been absolutely a real joy to talk with you.
Well, thank you. It's been nice to talk to you too. I've been enjoying the feedback is good.
I just love talking about this. So, and to my conscious community, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoy the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.